Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
And amen. You can take your seats in this place today. Thank you, worship team. It's a privilege to speak God's word here today. And on this bright 9 o'clock service, so we're back into, there's a wobble on the pulpit. What is that? There's a wobble on the pulpit. But it's good to be here. And the Lord has given me a message today, which is quite an unusual message. But I really, really sense that many of us have been through or going through quite a difficult time. There's feelings of loneliness, of isolation. There's feelings of maybe you're not hearing God like you used to hear God. Maybe you've been feeling like quite in a dark place. And or is it just me and my husband that have been feeling the things that we've been going through? And so today, this is a directional message of where I really sense that God wants to instruct us as to what he's been doing. And then not only instruct us, but he also wants to give us keys to make sure that we come through this time in a way that we are going to respond to the difficulties, the adversities that we're going through, because it's our response that is the most important thing. See, the challenge is when we're going through stuff, what your natural man or woman wants to do is back off, isolate. Just, I want to go and hide. Let me just find that hiding place. But the Lord is not wanting us to shrink back. He says it doesn't please him to shrink back. And if you want a title of this message today, it's My Faith Has Gone Underground. My faith has gone underground. And the reason why I'm speaking about faith going underground is because sometimes when you are men and women of faith, faith is the substance of things not seen, things that are hoped for. When we become born again Christians, faith is given to us as a gift. It is something that God gives us. Before we're born again, we don't even really know the word faith. But when we become born again, everything we do is about the walk of faith. Faith is not about our five senses. It's not about what we smell, what we taste, what we hear, what we feel. Faith isn't about that. Faith is something that you can't tangibly see. There's no evidence for it. So when you're believing something, it may seem crazy to believe what you're believing. That's faith. And the evidence of faith is you walk and you believe for something that God has given you, and you believe until it comes to pass. But for many of us, faith, we've been believing for stuff for a very long time in some areas of our life. And that can become very, very discouraging sometimes. When I remember going through a time where it was a dark time. And when I was walking Pablo the other day, the Lord reminded me of this. He says, I want you to give this to the church. And this is why I brought this message about faith. And it was about a seed of faith. See, the Bible likens faith to a seed. A mustard seed. And when it grows, has to go into the dark earth. And it's in the dark earth, you see, for it to produce something, it is the light and the darkness that causes that chemical change for something to burst forth. So sometimes when you feel you're in that dark place, when you're in that place where you're, where I can't see any way out of this. I can't understand how God could have me in this place. I want to encourage you today that even in the dark times, that God is doing something with your faith. And sometimes it just feels like you're turning around in this dark place and you're like, God, when are you going to come through? When is something going to change? When is something going to burst forth? Because I don't know if I can continue in this place much longer. And he's saying to you, church, today, yes, you can continue in this place a little bit longer. Though it may be dark, though it may be hard, though you may not be hearing in the voice of God and you've not got the goosebumps, though you may not be seeing what you want to see yet, he's saying to you, church, do not give in, do not grow weary, because in due season there will be a harvest of your seed. You see, the seed is in the darkness and it's turning and it's shifting, but when a seed is about to produce a root that comes out, in the plant world, it's called a radical. It's called a radical. Funny that. Radical. And it has to, but you see, not all seeds germinate. Why? Well, some of the seeds end up uprooting themselves and giving up. Some of them take themselves out of their environment that they need to be in. I.e., if you want to liken it to us as Christians, we take ourselves out of church, we back off from doing the things that we're so used to doing, because we just feel like, no, I can't do it. But you see, your environment, your church, the place where God has you, is the very soil where he is going to burst forth that radical shoot out of that hard shell of your faith. You see, every time we have to go through this process of life and death. Something has to die to produce life. And I'm afraid to say, church, that we're in a little bit of a dying process because we're about to burst forth into something new. We're about to go through that painful time. But I want to tell you today that we're about to move into a season that there's a gate that's about to open that is going to burst us forth beyond anything that we could ever ask or imagine. And I'm not just speaking words. I am waging warfare with the prophecy that God has declared over this church. He has given us words. He has given us pictures. He has given us these things to hold on to in the time where we cannot feel, where we can't see, where we don't know what's going on, and we feel alone, isolated, and in a dark place. He gives us these words to hold on to in these dark times. And as I was in prayer yesterday morning, I've been really crying out to God. You know, God, what's going on? What is happening? You know, we've had a few challenges with some different things in the church. It's been a challenging time. And as a church, we've stood through many things. If you're new in this place, you're in a church that is victorious. You're in a church that has stood and we've endured and we've overcome. We're not a church that shrinks back. We're not a church that gives up. We have overcome many things, many things. And so when trials and situations come, we go to him and we say, okay, God, what is going on? And he reminded me that when we received a word in January that the Lord is making the crooked places straight. And I spoke on that message before, but the other thing the Lord had shown me, I don't know if people remember, but he showed me a mountain with a straight path going all the way through. And in prayer yesterday morning, he reminded me of that path going straight through, beyond anything that you can see that he is going to do through this church. And he reminded me in prayer, and he said, he showed me the path again. I said, "Why? What is that, God?" And he showed me the mountains on either side. And he said, "It's a valley." And I was concentrating on the straight path. I was like, "Yes, the straight path. Yes, he's making the crooked places straight." And he showed me, "You're in a valley. As a church, you're in a valley. You're going through something." But at the end of this path was a gateway. He showed me the gateway and he said, "There is a purpose to every single thing that you are going through. There is something on the other side of everything you are going through." You see, if we don't know there's a purpose for our lives, you will give up. You will give up. See, if you don't understand that there is a vision and a purpose, not for, just for this church, but for you personally, you will give up. And I want to encourage you today that there is a purpose and a plan for your life. God does not make mistakes. He knows what he is doing, and he has fashioned your days. He has ordained and made a way for you and for me. And as I spoke to you about the crooked places, and the crooked places, then the Lord is making the crooked place not only on the outside but also on the inside. He's making them straight. As I started to really seek him about, "Lord, what does that mean?" He gave me a scripture for this church, and I wanna read this scripture, and it's in Hebrews, and he talks about the hardening of hearts. And I really believe, having spoken to many people lately, that in this church, that there are many of us that have a hardened heart. And I'm going to explain to you why that has happened. But I'm also going to explain to you how you can move beyond that. You see, because when you have a hardening of a heart, it says in the Bible that you stop hearing from God. You stop hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. And also what ends up happening, let me read you the scripture, Hebrews 3:12. And I really challenge you, listen to this word. Listen and ask God to show you about this word. Hebrews 3:12. "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion.'" And it is talking about every single one of us. Any of us can become hardened by the things of this world, the situations that happen to us. And one of the things that can happen is that we can be believing for something for many, 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 many years. And I know, and you know, that all of us have that one place. That one place that you have been crying out to God for. You see, many people don't know your place. And many people, well, in fact, I don't even think Paul knows my place. You know why? Because it's in the deep recesses of my very inner being. It is my personal struggle. It's not sin, overtly. It's not anything that openly we could declare as confession, but it's my weak place. It's my place that I have been believing God for now, to this day, for nearly 18 years. It is an area of my life that I have cried out for. I have wept. I have believed for. And still to this day, I feel like the enemy has me in this area. Many of you watched the fight last night. I didn't. But I can imagine what it was like. Has you on the ropes. And when that boxer has you on the ropes and they're buffeting you in the same place, man, after a certain amount of time, when you get hit in the same place, 1 month, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, something starts to happen to you. Something starts to pierce you. Something starts to affect you. Your whole being gets affected. Your eyesight, your vision. And what comes into that piercing, that place that you have believed God for, is a bit of unbelief, a little bit of settling, a little bit of curdling, a little bit of a stinky pond starts to appear in that deep place that no one knows about. And you see, that place where the enemy buffets you, pierces you, hits you, weakens you, it affects, it's like someone's popped your balloon and it seeps out all your faith, all your power, everything that you thought you were. The enemy has you there, just whispering into that weak place. And the Lord wants us to know today that in that weak place, we have cried out for him to make a change. That's the crooked place, the place of brokenness, the place where it's a little bit curved, where the word crooked in the New Testament comes from a word scoliosis, scolios, and it means the curvation of the spine. But if you study that word, it's the curves that we are dealing with are things and patterns and scars from our past that have caused us to have unhealthy patterns, broken places, hurting places. And they're the areas that God is working on. But this particular area where the enemy has you on the ropes and he's buffeting you, he's pummeting you, you're being pierced. This is the area, your weak area, that he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in you. Will he ever take that area away? I don't know. I don't know. Can he? Oh, yes. Why doesn't he? My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. You see, that weakness, that curved place, that broken place, that hurting place, that isolated place is the very place that causes you to run after him, to cry out to him. So instead of allowing that unbelief to creep into that place where the enemy has pierced you and buffeted you, that's the very place where God wants to release power into today. Those broken places that God wants to reveal his grace and his power. And he is going to make those crooked places straight. He is going to open gateways. He is going to open doors. But there are people in this place today that you have allowed the deceitfulness of sin and the fear of God not doing that stuff in you to cause you to become hard to the voice of his Spirit. And today he is going to release his Spirit, his anointing, his power upon you and start to cut away that hardening of heart. And I will tell you today why I can speak on this stuff. What's very, very interesting is God will allow, usually the leaders to go through stuff before the church goes through it. And I want to tell you, the last few weeks, I can speak for myself, and I can even speak for Paul, have been so challenging. And the enemy has tried to put us on the ropes. He has tried to cause us to doubt ourselves, to look inwards and start to look at the inadequacies and look at the weaknesses. And what the Lord wants us to know today is, church, look up. Look up. Take your eyes off of yourself and look up. Because He can and He will do what He's promised to do. We have been through many seasons like this. That's how we know. Because we know that when we've been through dark times, He has always come through. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us from one of them. All of the afflictions. Those that contend with us, who contends with them? The Lord contends with them. You see, you're not fighting me. I'm not fighting you. There is a fight that goes on that has nothing to do with us. But the Lord will win the battle. And the thing is, are you going to still be around when that battle commences? When you've come through, you look around to the left and to the right. You see people dropping like flies. Why? Because hardness comes in. Unbelief cracks into them through the weakness, through the unbelief. And they start to shrink back. They take themselves out of the earth, out of the dark place, trusting that there is no darkness at all in the Lord. He is light, but He says, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So that tells me there are dark times. That tells me that the Lord says there's dark times, but there's no darkness in Him. So as we are going through our dark times and we are being shifted about, and we are, your faith's about to go to another level. God is about to burst a promise that you have been believing for. God is about to burst it. Why? Because it's His faith. It's His faith He gave you. And our responsibility is to keep in the soil, to allow the water of the Holy Spirit to pour onto that. The other thing, when you're going through these times, these difficulties, these valleys, the worst thing you can do is not come to church, to not come to prayer meetings. It blows my mind to understand when people are going through it that they don't run to corporate worship, that they don't run to prayer meetings. Why? Because there's power. There is so much power in corporate prayer and corporate worship. It's like throwing hundreds of seeds of faith and throwing them into a mix and tossing them about. And it's like this infusion of power being released. And we stay away because we're worried about this sister or this brother or this situation. Who cares? Who cares? Because my life depends on it. My children's life depends on the fact that whether I get a breakthrough or not, my family, generations to come, my daughter's children depend upon my breakthrough. So I don't care whether I've fallen out with you or I've had an argument with my husband. I need the Lord because generations depend on me breaking through. I have to hear from Him. To my left and to the right, they've fallen, but I will continue. And so will you. You see, we have to pray. press into him and understand the soil is so important for your growth. The chemicals, the environment, that brother, that sister that bug you, they're all part of your process. Everything that knocks against that seed, everything while that is tossing about, it's all part of the process of God. And then one day, as you continue to place yourself in those places, one day that radical seed of faith bursts forth. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden people go, wow, you look different. Wow, you look younger. And you're broken and you're all messed up and you're like, wow, God, really, everything looks different. That's the radical faith starting to burst forth. That's that shell, that hard shell that you've been carrying around with you. That heaviness, that shell, that pain, that weakness, that stuff. But you keep turning up like a little snail. Oh, coming in and turning up with that hard shell. I'm still here. I'm still believing. I'm still lifting. Whatever I'm lifting, I'm still in the soil. I'm still putting my face to the light. I'm still waiting on the water of the Holy Spirit. And you keep going, whether it be weeks, whether it be months, sometimes it can be years. Oh, the day comes when that nasty shell is cracked right off. And you propel to another level. Another level of faith, another level of anointing, another level of gifting. And all of a sudden, gates have opened. And it's like, oh my gosh, all those things I was believing for, they just start happening. Bam, 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 bam. The problem is the shell is heavy. It's heavy, it's burdensome, tired. I don't want to go to church at 9 in the morning. I don't want to do that. What do you mean I have to do that? Everything. But you know what? A lot of people, what they do is they just don't do what is right. They don't keep turning up. They don't keep positioning themselves. They don't keep being faithful. They don't keep serving. They don't keep being obedient. They don't keep themselves pure. Why? Because the shell is so heavy, burdensome. I can't hear God. It's too difficult. They're the times. They're the times that God looks. He says, okay, let me see if they're faithful now. Let me see if they're obedient now when they've not got the goosebumps. Let me see when the affliction has hit them. Let me see what they do. There's the test, my brothers and sisters. You don't realize it, but you've got to pass that test. You've got to pass that test with that shell on you. You've got to pass that test when you feel hardness. You don't feel the Holy Spirit. You don't feel like praising the Lord. You don't feel like saying, oh, hallelujah, give me a hug. You feel like punching people. Oh, that is when the Lord is talking about. You keep being faithful. You keep turning up. You keep praising the Lord. You keep doing your ministry. You keep being a loving mother or a loving father. You keep doing what is right. Then all of a sudden, and we're not at the all of a sudden yet. We've still got our shells on us. I still feel like I've got a heavy shell. But you know, I've been through this process so many times. I know it will change. I know for your life, it will change. And you're going to be propelled into such a light place, a beautiful place, place of grace, a place of power, a place of fulfillment if you keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Stand with me today, and as the worship team come up, Father, we thank you that you are making those curved places straight within us. We thank you that that area that all of us have, where you haven't taken it away. Where the Lord, where you have us, we feel like we're upon the rope sometimes, being hit in the same place. Whether it be failure, whether it be rejection, abandonment, insecurity. Whatever that place is, Father, Lord, we ask you for grace. You said your grace is sufficient. Your power is made perfect within our weakness. And we need your power and we need your grace. Father, we're believing for that open gate. We're believing that you have brought us into the spacious place. And we know there's enemies in the land, God. We know there's enemies. But we know, God, that you are seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us right now. And Lord, we ask you that any hardness within our heart, Lord, would you break it off? Would you break us through? Where there's been a heavy yoke upon us, we know, Father, afflictions come to the righteous. Would you deliver us, God? Would you deliver us today, Father? Would you contend with those that have contended with us, Lord? Be faithful to your servant, Father, according to your word that you have spoken. Be faithful to your servant according to the word that you have spoken. Just start to talk to him about your weak place. Talk to him about your curved place, your lean place. And instead of crying out for that place to be taken away, I ask, you ask him for grace. Grace, God. Your grace is sufficient for us, Lord.
Your power abundantly. You give me hope expectantly. Thank you.
few minutes left. The Lord is going to do something in these few minutes. If you've been struggling with unbelief and you have an area that you just really just have got to a place where you just feel so discouraged and the enemy has attacked you, there's two things the Lord's going to do. He's going to sweep in here and awaken your faith in that area today. He's going to awaken faith where there's been unbelief. He's going to sweep with his presence. He's going to come and he's going to open those ones that don't understand what I'm talking about. He's going to open the eyes of your understanding. You're going to enable you to see again. You see what happens in that curved place, in that broken place. It affects your vision. When you have a thorn in your finger or anywhere in your body, it affects every part of you. And today, many of your vision has been affected. How you see. And God is about to heal those areas that have been affected, where that bitter piercing has come and affected and infected your body. He's going to bring the anesthetic of the Holy Spirit and His Word and bring healing right through your body. And there is a wave of His Spirit, a wave of His faith going to be breathed in to you. Oh, just lift your hands. And when we sing that chorus, it's your expectancy that He is going to do what He says He's going to do. Do you believe He can? Do you believe? Oh, when you breathe.
When you're
want you to do something just as we close. I want you to grab the person to the left of you or to the right. Just hold hands with someone. And it talks about encouraging each other daily. And I want you to pray for the person on your left, or if you've got no one on your left, I want every person in this place to be holding someone's hand. And I say this because we are a body. We are connected. No one in here is disconnected. There needs to be, hold Emma's hand. No one in here is disconnected. If you're disconnected, it's because you've chosen to be disconnected. There is power in the body of Christ. There is power as we touch each other. Look, I want you to start praying for your brother and your sister, whoever's on the side of you. I want you to start praying for their heart. Pray for them. Pray against hardness. Pray. I want to hear the voices of the saints in this place. Cry out for your brother and your sister. Oh, for while it is still called today, that we will not have the deceit of this world. Oh, we cry out. Grab someone. Touch someone. Thank you. His call is irrevocable. There's people in here that believe that their calling is gone. And I'm telling you today, your calling, you can't get away from it. God's called you. There's nothing you can do to stop the calling of God. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for your beautiful presence. Just thank him for what he's done. Thank him for the strength of the Holy Spirit. Thank him for faith. Thank him for his promises. Thank him for your brothers and your sisters. Thank him for this church. Thank him for our pastors. Thank him. We thank you, God. Just thank him, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh. Tui, your calling is right there. Your calling. You will never get away from it. Never. His hand is upon you, heavy. And you know it. You know it. Anyone in this place today that doesn't know their Lord as their Lord and their Savior, they're not a Christian, continue to play. His presence is here. This is not a man-made thing. His presence is here. If you don't know the Lord today, today is your day to come and give your life to the Lord. And if you want to respond, you can come to the front and we will pray for you. If you do not know him as your Lord and your Savior, anyone else that does not know God, the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, that wants to today come and respond to his Spirit, because it is his Spirit. This is not a man-made thing. It is real. And today his presence is so thick in this place that if you want to respond, you want to respond, just come to the front here if you want to respond. God is in the business of transformation. There's no life that he cannot change. I'm going to go say a prayer. It's no magic prayer, but it is a response that you want to know what this is about. And it is the start of a journey, but you need to keep coming to the church, keep coming into the presence of God, into the soil and allow him to burst forth the purpose and the plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. And everything that's ever happened, he's going to turn this around and raise you up. Repeat this prayer. And I know that he doesn't speak English, so Holy Spirit, reveal salvation. Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to come into my heart. I believe you died upon the cross for me, and I may not understand it. I believe you've forgiven me for everything I've ever done wrong. And I believe you rose again and are seated in heaven at the right hand of the Father, making intercession right now for me. And I give my life to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Baptize me with the wonderful gift of tongues. We thank you, Father, that we're continually in a process. And we thank you for salvation today. Let there be evidence, God, fruit, evidence of a change from the inside out, from the root, the sin is broken. There's a beautiful, beautiful presence of God in this place. Oh, we praise you, God. And as we come into a close, we're going to sing that song very gently at first, and then we're going to bring it to an end. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we're going to land this plane. I just encourage you, church, we're in an amazing place. Don't jump ship. Don't jump out of the process, because you're about to go to another level. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for what you've done in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
is sufficient, God. Because you overcame, we overcome. Your blood is sufficient, God. Your grace is more than enough for us today, God. Your grace is sufficient, God.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.